Happy St. Patty's Day, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you have green undies on and a pint of Guinness. Because we want you to party with your Skeleton Boys!
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Skeleton Boys. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. I think we could call this our tradition now, right? We review a movie for the holidays. And
as well as every week. These are our traditions.
Every week's a holiday.
And cue Fiddler on the Roof traditions.
With St. Patty's Day around the corner, what Leprechaun movie are we reviewing?
Leprechaun in the Hood.
We got one, Warwick, two, three.
Warwick Davis's finest hours.
So I know everybody loves when we talk about how the sausage is made around here. So we wanted to pick a movie for St. Patty's Day. And we're like, cool, let's check out what movies they have. And it was like Leprechaun and the movie we chose to review today.
Oh, wait, no, there was one more movie we weren't aware took place around the St. Patty's Day. Which one was it? But it's like a movie we've seen.
Oh, yeah, I remember you mentioning it. I don't remember the title. Okay, well, yeah, we'll ruminate on that.
Right. Yeah,
but so.
No, actually, let's keep quiet until we remember. So let's just contemplate.
Until we get there. But yeah, so we're gonna review today. This week we're gonna review Grabbers. So
Grabbers.
John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But we thought, since this is a special St. Patty's Day episode, we would have, of course, a drinking game. So, John,
two drinking games.
Excellent. Do you want to walk us through the rules?
Well, first off, you better have a beer. And I highly recommend you get yourself... Whoa, that's some good sound effect right there.
Yeah.
I'm just telling people at home, this green kimono that I'm wearing, I don't mean appropriate cultures. It's the only green thing I had.
And, so nice.
It feels really good. But it's also making me sweat buckets. So you should grab yourself a beer. And perhaps you should grab yourself a beer that our sponsor would like to sell to you.
Yes, our sponsor.
You know what I'm tired of?
Huh?
I'm tired of these blood suckers.
You mean corporate jagoffs?
Well, yeah, but no. I mean these squid aliens taking my blood.
Wait, what?
That's why I go for Grabber's Beer. The only beer able to get you tanked enough to fend them off.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Grabber's Beer.
What was that?
That beer sounds really good.
Delicious.
We would like to talk about, I think, our favorite St. Patty's Day memory.
Yeah, definitely.
That we both have come to the conclusion came about 10 years ago now.
Yeah, and we're more just going to try to stitch together the day because we don't remember. It's been, it was 10 years ago and we were definitely celebrating St. Patty's Day. We're definitely...
But while we do this, if you guys want to play at home, we're going to play a pseudo power hour. So every 3 minutes, we're going to have to take a drink and then attempt to finish a story as best we can.
Okay.
Starting now, quick, take a swig. So yeah, we're definitely going to talk about South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, 2011.
Yes, it was hot. Sweaty Texas.
No surprise there. And we're going to attempt to piece together this story Why? Because if anybody's been to South by Southwest or has been there at least a couple of times, they know that there is a bountiful amount of free booze and free food if you know where to look, right?
Yeah. You know where to hit up.
Because a lot of people are like, sorry, what?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
A lot of people are always under the impression like, oh, it's kind of expensive. You got to do this and that. I'm like, no, it's actually free.
Au contraire.
You do the night stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went up separately. I ended up staying with a buddy of mine. Scooter. This is
sure Eric
AKA
loves that.
Scooter. yeah, I'm sure he still loves it. And he had been to South by a couple of times, so he already kind of like knew a cheap option would just grab like a cheap motel outside of Austin. So we did that. We would like grab like a hotel outside Austin, not too far, maybe like 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then like we would drive in every morning.
One bed, whatever, right?
Whatever. But
no condoms. So, South by Southwest. No, just kidding.
And then you went up with a couple of other buddies of ours as well.
Yeah, which coincidentally we had already had our like date night thing going on, which I think we've talked about previously. And this was pretty much the gist of it. Like, it was a good chunk of our date night. I went with Edwin Mendoza and Jonathan Torres. And then I think at one point we met up with Jonathan Dimas was also there.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
God, I'm going to feel bad if I miss anybody, but I'm pretty sure that was it.
Paul was up there too.
Oh yeah, that's right. We fucking talked about that extensively before we started this.
It was so funny. We all hang out, but we all mutually decided to go with other people. So
yeah, I know.
So like,
there's like no point to it, but we did. I think for me personally, it's because I had to convince Jonathan and Edwin to go, because unfortunately Edwin and I had just gotten in a car accident, so we're both a little like, you know, timid about the whole thing. I mean, not Edwin, Edwin's fucking fearless, but we do end up going, but we didn't have a car, and then Edwin's like, no, fuck it, I got this truck that I'm using now. Like, so it was real impromptu. It was fucking fantastic. I don't know, I had a lot of fun, but just gotta tell you, gotta drink now.
Duh. And then I think we would, some nights we were meeting up, but I think we were missing each other. So for whatever reason, St. Patty's Day fell like on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a Thursday? Which was like the big thing where like, oh, we got to hang out with each other. It's St. Patty's Day and it's Thursday. Yeah. It's our date night. So
I like how Rolando said that we were missing each other. It's true. It's true all the time. Every day we all miss each other.
Well, because we try to hang out certain nights, but I think the only shows we went to were the big South by show, the South by Southwest actual like music show. They had we all met up because I think the Strokes were headlining, and then they had like I think Twin Dragons. I don't remember. There maybe have been other bands.
Do we also go and watch? Was it like She and Him headlined one night? Or was it just...
Oh, I don't think I made it out. I think you went
with Paul, actually.
The guys.
I want to say Jonathan and Edwin were there. God, I feel like I met up with somebody else there, too. I don't remember if it was like... I want to say my friend Brisa Munoz was there, too. Oh, you remember Brisa, right?
Yeah, vaguely, a little bit,
perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, vaguely.
But yeah, it was such a great treat because She and Him headlined. I really wanted to go the second night because Bright Eyes were going to play. Because I'm a product
that
of
was the big one,
the early 2000s, late 90s, right? I mean, I was born in the 80s, so of course I'm going to be like, you guys don't know what emo is. I know emo. But the She and Him show was great because fucking Justin Townes Earl played and I never heard of him. And I was like, dude, this guy's fucking amazing. And, you know, RIP, passed away this past year. But that's not the important part. We met up on date night, Thursday. It was St. Patrick's Day. We were like at some rando bar near Congress on 6th. I can't wait to find out that I'm like getting all those fucking streets wrong. And everybody's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It was a Bengans, actually.
Went to TJS. It was the only one that was still existed at the time.
Yeah.
And you remember what? Say your part about like some poor woman was insanely intoxicated.
So for whatever, of course, it was St. Patty's Day. So I actively, like every bar I went to was, of course, packed to the gills, right? But eventually I fight my way up. And at the bar, I would ask for, yeah, give me a beer, Drink. Give me green beer. And it was... Oh. And they were... And they were like, oh, no, we're out. We don't have any green beer. Just have regular beer. And this was like a constant theme, which only made me more determined that I really wanted green beer. So every bar we would go to, I'd ask for green beer. To no avail. I never got it.
I don't know why our dumbasses just didn't go to like any of those mini corner stores and buy green dye or like blue and yellow or something.
And we ended up at like, we all ended up meeting up at, I think it was like a sports bar that was, had an Irish name that I don't remember. Yeah. And there was, I just remember we were like, walking towards the back of the bar, and there were a lot of very drunk people.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden, this couple are like, they're like staggering around, and I guess they start making their way. They're laughing, they're making their way to the front. And all of a sudden, this woman just was like, ah, just laughing and swaying until she like face dived right into a couple of tables. And just like, I just remember her popping right back up and be like, oh, like, I'm okay. And she, like, scurried out of the bar, never to be seen again, I think.
Oh, yeah, and anybody that's been to, like, a soft buy and has decided to stay out until, like, fucking 1 or 2 knows just how faded people get. Just, like, people puking everywhere all over the street.
Yeah, no, it was, crazy.
Yeah,
And that's also where we saw...
A lot of fun. What?
Yeah, I know. It was a lot of fun. That's also where we got our, we saw the...
Rad-O-Man.
Rad-O-Man.
That's what I was going to talk about. God, I can like never get that image out of my head. We were just like talking, and I think we were disappointed we couldn't find green beer. And we like look up at the TV, and there's like, we can't really hear it, right?
Yeah,
but the images are like all the fast food like mascots, like Colonel Sanders, Ronald McDonald, the Burger King King, right? At one point, Wendy from Wendy's. Who is the other guy?
Jack in the Box.
Oh, Jack in the Box. Yeah, and then we're like, this has got to be our new official date night song. It was like, and then we find out like Rad Omen is just a collective of like a famous DJ or two DJs and the Good Charlotte guys and like all these people dressed up. And Nick Swartzen was Wendy, who is a stripper at a strip bar they go to. But it was just like a really raunchy like. These mascots are having an LA night where they're doing like a shit ton of like cocaine and like smoking a bunch of weed and drink. Oh, you did a good job before I told you.
And that's like, I think somebody made the connection. There's five whatever characters and there's five of us. So it's like we thought, oh, this is perfect. This is going to be the perfect anthem for us.
But. And the song proved to be better watched than heard. I mean, it was an okay song. It just like very repetitive.
Yeah, it was. But it a lot of firsts happened that night.
Yeah, it was a wild night. And I was telling you earlier that I had convinced Edwin and Jonathan to not eat or not have like a real meal until the last day, because that's the South by Southwest way. You just got to get it, you know, load up on free booze and whatever free snacks they give you, because they give you food too. Yeah, which was like horrible. And then like the last day we're like, fuck yeah, let's go to this Ethiopian place. And one of those things you don't think about, you know, when you don't eat for a while and then you try to eat, you can't eat a lot because you get full like immediately. And I was like, what are we supposed to do? Like pack up this stuff and take it with us? I don't know if anybody did that, but it was like, that's a bad idea. Like 5 hours of like this food not refrigerated in a car.
Well, Thodis is a very known food pack rat, so
yeah, hell yeah.
He would knows, anytime we would go hang out, he would be like the first one to be like making plates for himself. It's yeah. like making stuff home. I always admired that about him. He just was like, I don't care. I'm gonna get my stacks. I'm gonna go home.
teasing we probably inevitably gave him at whatever point. Like whatever he did came in handy, you know, when he moved to a place like LA, you're like, fuck yeah, dude. It's just like whatever Thotis did. I'm just gonna take all this shit, I'm gonna take it home, I'm gonna be good for like a month.
Yeah.
Man, fuck, I should probably do that now. I'm gonna save money again.
Okay. Anything else you wanna share, or should we get into the review of Grabbers?
Yeah, we should get into the review of Grabbers, but at home, if you want to leave a comment on our Twitter, especially you three people that love it, love all our posts, tell us your favorite St. Paddy's Day story.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Even if it involves murder and sex. I mean, especially is what I meant to say.
We got to shout out our new followers, Adeline Ass. And Horror Cutie 666. So,
all right.
Shout out to those two.
I like that name. And drink.
Okay.
Horror Cutie 666. So, that is one of the most brilliant names I've ever heard for a handle.
Yeah, they're fans. Fans of the Skeleton Boys. All right. So, Grabbers. John, you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yeah, absolutely. But first, sorry, I had to do a belch. For the remainder of the podcast, if you want to play along at home, every time either of us say Grabbers from this point on, we have to take a drink.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. 5 words or less for the film we're reviewing today.
Just real quick, I just want to relay this really funny Conan O'Brien thing where like he talked to, well, because he's Irish, right, Conan O'Brien, and he always says that in Ireland, St. Paddy's Day is like an incredibly like somber religious holiday over there, that they go to church and it's very introspective. And but here in America, it's just like fucking time to cut loose.
Oh, man. Like that Cinco de Mayo, which is like, I mean, that's not like a real thing. I mean, it is a thing.
Yeah. I just leave it up to America to appropriate holidays. Yeah. So anyways, all right. John, do you want a plot in 5 words?
A plot in 5 words for our movie today. It's me dancing around, drinking, and having to open up a new can because I am feeling toasty.
It's the kimono.
And again, I've got five of them.
Whoa, five? Yeah. 5-word plot summaries.
That's like 50 words.
Ha! Huh. Love Dude. It. Love it.
Hire me to write your essays. coming in at number 5, drunk finally not a creep. I think a lot of us can relate.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 4 for Grabbers. Ah, shit. All right. There you go.
That's only 2 words. Oh, okay. Cheers. That was 3 minutes for grabbers.
Oof. All right.
This was a good idea.
Yeah, this is going to end well. Trust. Just trust. Yeah. Coming in at number four, drunk finally becomes role model. It's what we all dream of.
Yes.
Coming in at number three, it's not so much a plot summary, it's more of just an observation. Irish Shaun of the Dead.
Ah, right? Yes. That is definitely yeah. true.
Because I kept yep. trying to mention that. I was like, dude, this is just, it's just an Irish Shaun of the Dead. Because mm-hmm. our part over there, Georgina was trying to say she didn't understand. She thought the movie was taking itself too serious. I'm like, I don't think so. It's about these fucking squid things. Like, I think it's yeah. just trying to Shaun of the Dead itself. All right. Coming yeah. in at number two. Real Pokemon, not as cool.
Probably not as cool. Okay.
And number one, four grabbers. All right, drink.
Fuck.
Oh my god, this beer is way tastier. Okay. Oh, and it's the Golden Monkey, too. We just talked about how shitty this tastes, and it just tastes great right now. It's also almost 10% per volume.
Nice.
So let's see if I remember the end of this. coming in at number one, single mother feeds hungry children.
Yes. Nice.
It, and if that is not what drives the plot.
Yeah, parenthood.
Yeah. Just trying to do her best out there, you know? Single starfish squiddy guy, you know?
Yeah. Starro. That's what went through my head.
Yes.
Cool. So what would be your first thoughts on grabbers?
Irish Shaun of the Dead. Oh, damn it. All right, let's go.
Yeah. All right.
It was okay. It was funny. It was fine.
All right.
I definitely have seen this movie.
Oh no.
More than once.
Oh no.
But like the more I watched it, the more I was like, I do remember this, but I don't remember any of this at all.
Yeah. So you liked it. It's okay.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was funny. It was a little too. Sorry, I'm just doing belches right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, give us your thoughts while I ponder over on this side.
You're a chunk.
Not releasing gas from my mouth.
So, grabbers for me was it's a creature feature similar to like arachnophobia, right? Like that's kind of like
yeah.
arachnophobia was kind of like serious but kind of fun as well. Didn't take itself too seriously.
Which is also an excellent movie, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like. A little formulaic, the plot, similar to like other creature movies, like maybe my all-time favorite movies, Tremors, and something more yeah. more modern, like Attack the Block, right? I think that the movie is like, it's a little cookie cutter, but there's something kind of really charming to the fact that it's very Irish. Like, that's one of the main reasons why I thought we picked this instead of a Leprechaun movie.
Yeah.
Was because it's made by pretty much an all Irish production. The director, writers, actors, everybody was pretty much just like from Ireland. And there's something kind of appealing about the movie, about the leads, I thought were pretty charming. I thought the CGI effects were like pretty well polished overall.
Yeah.
Especially being what is it now? Maybe this movie came out in 2013, so nearly a 10-year movie,
yeah.
8-year movie, basically. And I thought the tentacles worked well, and I thought the effects looked cool. And it's not trying to like reinvent anything or be anything outstanding, but you know what? They shot the hell out of Ireland, and it looked really cool. So I thought it was a very engaging movie on that front.
Yeah, no, I did enjoy it. I think what I maybe lowered my sort of view of this movie was I was watching it with Georgina, and oops, I just clicked something on my computer. Sorry if you heard that. And she was telling me, like, you know, this movie for me right now is playing like, I know she said non-Irish, but I know she meant like an American movie company try to make an Irish film. I think it's because she was like, she couldn't get past how thick all the accents were. I'm like, no, it's just like legit. Like, it's just a bunch of Irish people being, you know, it's the movie. But I can also relate it to a friend of mine that I met here, who is my friend Rishi's roommate. His name is Stefano. Moved back to Italy, but obviously he's Italian, right? And I try to like warn her and tell her, hey, so Stefano, I just want to tell you right now, his accent is going to sound like comically too fucking Italian, okay? And I don't think she understood that. But when she started talking to him, she's like, holy shit. Yeah, he sounds like a fucking caricature. And I'm like, no, he's just like, he sounds Italian. You know? So I think that's just like in her head, like she was watching this movie and it was like, they just sound too Irish, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think to me, the best part of this is like the sort of twist and how they figure out how to defeat the monster. The fact that they have to stay drunk all the time, because all this creature really wants is water and like blood to survive. And it doesn't like that. It doesn't like alcohol. It has like a reverse reaction to them. I think they, you know, they either get sick or eventually they do die. Right. So, and it's kind of telling that, you know, I think they're kind of poking fun at themselves because it's like Irish as well. And Ireland has a reputation of like, oh, everyone's drunk and everyone's like, farmers and they're like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. So they kind of like are playing that up a little bit. So I thought that was a really cool twist on this sort of monster movie trope where like, how do we kill the beast?
Yeah.
And then they kind of said like, okay, well, we all have to be drunk. And so the once they kind of figure that out, they kind of want to get the whole town drunk, which I thought was a really fun idea for
I also like the person who discovers the thing and who like ultimately names the creatures is the old like
grabbers.
Grabbers. Oh, all right. He's like ultimately the guy that names the creature, right? Which the doctor that they have is that dude from like Being Human, right? That guy, it's that actor.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I don't think he's exactly Irish. What you're talking about. He's English, right?
Yeah.
Audience at home?
I don't know.
Tell us. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, don't be quiet.
He is
English. He's from XX or whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, Essex?
He's from the UK. He's English. yeah, I couldn't say it.
He doesn't want to name it Grabbers, but like the old drunk seafaring guy who stays alive this entire time because he's just like suited all the time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to point out.
I really wished.
The what? Oh, I was going to say no, one of my favorite things to point out to Georgie was. This dude, I know he's supposed to be like an old drunk, like, you know, port guy, I guess. But he looks like he walked out of a fucking Urban Outfitters catalog. Yeah. I mean,
really?
No. I mean,
you found him attractive? Or? Yeah.
I mean, yes. Very attractive, actor. No, his clothes, they were just like, it was like plaid shirt, like, under thermal beanie. His boots were like not hip, just like, you know, like working boots. And I was like, dude, this guy, I mean, I know that's not the intention, he probably just wore his own fucking clothes, but he looks hip as fuck compared, I mean, considering what we think is hip now. Or I could be completely out of touch with what's
happening. Is he going to clear... No, I mean, he looked like he was either going to, like, clear out the lobster traps or go to, like, an art gallery. I don't
well,
I think
no, he wasn't,
what you're trying
he was
to make.
Cool lots,
so. Yeah, no, what was I going to mention? I was going to say that I thought...
That Grabbers the movie is... Oh, damn it.
How close were they to saying Graboids? That's why it's... They should... I feel like this movie did a really good job of alluding to other movies. Like, of course, they had the... Obviously, they had the Night of the Living Dead reference, right? They had an Aliens reference in there. And this, like, they were kind of paying homage to other classic films. And sometimes those things can be annoying, but I feel this movie was kind of charming because it's not the most expensive looking movie, but I felt like that kind of helped with it. The low budget has that low budget charm to it. Kind of through it.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if we're belching too much, I think it's just because we don't want to be sucked up by Grabbers. Oh!
Oh! Yeah, for us to finish this podcast, we have to reach a certain blood alcohol level, so we're not grabbed by Grabbers.
So we don't get our head bitten off. Man, we haven't really talked about anything that really happens in this film, like, sort of, but one of my favorite moments is everybody's fully aware that they need, well, not everybody. The key figures are aware that everybody needs to be wasted, so their blood alcohol level is toxic to this alien. I'm assuming it's an alien.
Yeah. No, it is. It has the... Crash lands in the ocean, doesn't it? In the beginning, kind of similar to like the Thing. It has like the Thing opening.
Spoiler! I didn't know the Thing was an alien. I'm just kidding. This thing. Next, you're gonna tell me Kurt Russell was in it. It's this alien, and they realize that if their blood is tainted with alcohol, it would be rejected by these aliens. That are very quick to like stab people in the chest and bite their heads off. And they're very careful to make sure that the people that stay alive are only attacked by like the children versions of the Thing. Right. Exactly.
Facehuggers. Yeah. Whatever.
But my favorite part was the dude from Essex, which I'm glad we don't have any like fucking London listeners, because I'm pretty sure he's like really famous, but he's super wasted and he's like, I need to take a picture with the creature. And he goes out there and he's like super trash taking photos. And he's like, you don't want me. I got alcohol in my blood or blah, blah, blah. And this creature like goes around and like kind of sniffs him out. Right. And decides it doesn't want him. And the thing that made me fucking crack up was unexpectedly, this thing just like flicks him away into the fucking distance. And that's how he dies. And it's super funny.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, he's fine. And this thing like fucking like flicks him away.
Yeah. I'll just, before we move this to spoilers, I just want to quickly mention, I really like the two leads. Richard,
are you talking about the guy from A Knight's Tale and also Joker?
A Knight's Tale. He was
in
just
kidding. It's because he looks like a Joaquin Phoenix gladiator bad guy. Like
he does look like a stereotypical English villain, but let's see. Let's see. I know that the last thing I saw him in was the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. the Lord. Yeah, he plays like the overseeing Lord Father Faust Blackwood.
What a pretty good show. I didn't see past the... I don't even think I finished the second season, but yeah, what a great show.
You know, completely sidetracked with this off topic here. But yeah, the thing that bugged me about that.
How the hell would that happen if we're trying to review Grabbers? Ah, shit.
I don't even think I want to mention it anymore, but I couldn't quite get into it because the comic is very different, and it had like a different approach to it. The show was completely different, and I couldn't hang with the show. I felt like every episode was like an exercise. Like, oh man, I got to sit and watch this. After watching one episode, I was like, okay, I'm good. I don't have no interest in binging any of this. But that's beside the point. Let's get into spoilers.
Wait. No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So, what's there to spoil?
So, pretty much, like, anything past, like, 2 hours, oxygen is going to spoil. Just throw it away. If it's not in the fridge, like, don't even bother. this is your health advice from Johnny. You're welcome. So the day is saved, mm-hmm. in some sort of like creepy fashion. Something we didn't mention was the main female protagonist was doing some sort of like residency to gain hours as a police officer there, right? And then you find out she doesn't drink at all. And what's his face? Coyle is like a major alcoholic. And they have that cute, like, how their beginning is of the beginning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah. You know? I'm glad everybody's following along. And then they're happy, you know, and that's it. That's the end. No, how Coyle's day starts as opposed to her day, and how she's like happy-go-lucky she's on a ship crossing, obviously bad timing, and how he wakes up and he immediately starts drinking again.
Yeah, we find out that he is, his wife, right, left him for somebody else.
Left him.
So he's becoming up.
It's a very simple explanation where it was like, that happened, just accept it. This is what he said. But this is also why he's like not going to drink for the rest of the movie. Stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's kind of the thing I liked the most is that there was just like simple, low stakes stuff to this. And it tried to never really venture too much outside of like, creature movie tropes. Like it just more or less played it beat for beat, which is fine, because I thought the interesting setting, great cast. I thought that like they interesting, you know, had enough plot kind of twist and sort of fun moments in it to kind of justify some of the other stuff going on. So yeah, no, I really liked it overall. Yeah, it worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, very simple creature feature, just, you know, turn your brain off and just kind of enjoy the ride. You know, very fun. Grab you by the hand, grabbers by the leg. Oh, shit! I can't believe I said grabbers by the leg.
Cheers.
So cheers to that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I may have fucked up. I bought this, like, Victory sampler pack. They're all very high on alcohol per volume content. I've had, like, 2.5 beers, and I'm feeling great. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
I think the I really like the turn, the fact that they all had to like go to the bar, which has that Shaun of the Dead vibe to it, and they got them all drunk. Like, free drinks for everybody, you know what I mean? And they all got trashed.
Oh, and the fucking bar owner yeah. was so... he was hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's aware that it's going to rain, and that's the big problem, because that means the creature can be on land. So the idea is the creature needs water to survive and sends out, like, its babies to go feed mm-hmm. while it's raining. And because everybody's drunk, they're making really reckless decisions. And the bar owner, who's very aware of what's going on, that's the only reason he allows like the whole town to come and drink for free.
Even he seemed upset about it. Yeah, even he seemed like, well, okay, I'll go with it. Kind of.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. And I really like it because the entire town shows up. It's like a super small town, but the entire town is full of drunks. And they're like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like ranging from like 80-year-old women to like... kids too, they're just like hanging out,
not drinking,
but hanging out. He knows that the creature's outside, and this creature is like spanning the height of the buildings that they're in. He's super drunk. He has a super soaker full of like lighter fluid or something, gasoline maybe. And he tries to set up like a tip at the front that's going to have a flame on it. And he lights it on fire and he's like, kind of, it's this whole scene where he's like, oh, he's going to go outside and fucking destroy this fucking thing. And he jumps outside. It's raining. So everything is soaked. And it's just him like pumping this fucking super soaker. And there's nothing coming out of it like, ah, shit. I'm glad he didn't die. I was about to be real sad that he was about to get killed.
I'll just quickly mention the only other thing I really thought was cool was that once the big whatever male female creature comes out, it rolls to move around, which I thought was kind of cool. Yes. Right, like
it rolls, like it like pulls its tentacles around to make like a spear of itself. That's, right,
yeah, that was a fun detail. Like I thought that was interesting to kind of see it move and whatever.
I also like that the protagonist, like I said, doesn't really drink, gets super fucking wasted, and then she becomes insistent on like, no, I'll drive.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, like she drives like a drunk person, and then she's trying to do things and like save the day, and she's like wasted. Like she sets the bar on fire by accident, which ultimately is the reason most of the creatures die.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Funny movie. It's good.
Great. So let's move on to our ratings. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I think I'll give it 7 sexy spooky bones for grabbers.
Fuck.
Ah, shit.
All right. Same. I'll do 7 spooky bones as well. All right. Thank
you. Well, we got to get going, ladies and gentlemen, because we're probably both.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And
I love you all.
And as always,
stay spooky. All right,
I gotta go. All right, bye.